outside. And all them crazy murderers will never run from inside. You try to keep me down cause you see no joy. All them knows them from, so you call a man a boy. I ain't a tie, can't just see. Hoping up your eyes.
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real.
And here we go, folks. It is Wednesday, April the 2nd, 2025, the year of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Gentiles. You are listening to today's edition of the Ugly Truth broadcast. Welcome to the program, folks. Hope you're all doing well. Those of you of goodwill, of course, as we like to say often on this program, we don't wish our enemies well, because when our enemies are doing well, we are doing very poorly. And by poorly, what I mean is, well, just go watch any one of the Terminator films and you'll get a pretty good idea of what it means, because that is, in effect, where we find ourselves, ladies and Gentile men. We find ourselves in an existential survival, our own existential survival. That's what it boils down to. We have an enemy that is hell-bent upon our destruction. And it really does, in many ways, mirror the storyline of all of the Terminator films. And that's why we have to take this seriously. Folks, we were together not just a week ago today, but actually 24 hours ago. We put together a program yesterday. I was battling some type of infirmity handed to me by one of my beloved children, a cold, head cold, and I was just in a brain fog the whole time. And I didn't do as well as I had hoped that I would. My special guest, of course, did exceedingly well, but I didn't. And because of that, I asked if he would be willing to give his time once again today, and we will be bringing him up here in just a bit. Nevertheless, we'll be covering the same topic that we covered on yesterday's program, which is, well, folks, you'll find out in just a few moments. I have a few, a little bit of laundry to take care of here. First of all, anybody who would like to contribute to helping keep this program on the air, of course, a link is included in every show description. All you have to do is just open it up where it says whatever broadcast and the date of the program, and you'll find the link there to where you can contribute. And of course, we are appreciative. We'll let you know that well ahead of time. Secondly, folks, I received a very interesting email that I would like to discuss for just a moment. It comes from a listener in Europe. And he's actually an American citizen, but he's staying in Europe at the moment. And he had something very interesting to say. The title of the email was Judge Napolitano. And he started off saying, I love listening to your program. He says, I didn't catch the specific reason why you dislike Napolitano, but I was inspired to write you this note because I've listened to his program regularly for years, a little less so since finding other programs like yours. But I still check in on his show when people like Professor Mearsheimer is on. One thing that I've noticed over and over again with him is that I found myself in countless occasions when he's listening to what his guests are talking about, and in so many cases he seems to have been either surprised or was literally being educated on so many aspects that a so-called crazy conspiracy theorist who doesn't even have a high school diploma has been aware of for decades. It left me wondering how this guy wound up a professor at Princeton dealing with constitutional law. He had his own show for 20 years on Fox. Was it a cooking show or a weather show? I mean, damn, just so clueless. How is he a former all of that and yet clueless on so many subjects that an uneducated guinea like myself is apparently way more informed on than he is, thanks to listening to programs like yours. Now, folks, I decided to read this email because it hit me as I was reading this. I said, "Oh, that's what I find so disturbing about not just Judge Napolitano, because I think he does a really good job, folks, and I think he has some really good guests, but the general trend of a lot of the discussions there, basically our emailer here was able to put into words what I think maybe I have not yet been able to do, which is that there are things that these folks should know and they don't, and or at least they pretend that they don't. And for common folk, such as our emailer and such as yours truly, this is very bewildering, folks. Very perplexing. It's, you know, all of these people, whether we're talking about Judge Napolitano or Professor Mearsheimer or Professor Sachs or any of these other people, with all of their advanced degrees, and yet for reasons which, at least as of this moment, I do not understand, there are some really big, important, simple things that seem to escape their notice when it comes to analyzing and commenting on some of these really, really important things going on in the world right now, not the least of which is this looming thing known as World War III. And so, if in the past my commentary on not just Judge Napolitano, but really the entire spectrum of what we would call the alternative media, as if it has appeared to be, you know, me sounding uncharitable or overly critical, it's more bewilderment than anything else, folks. Like our emailer here, how is it possible that these people in their elevated and lofty positions, as I said, several of them with advanced degrees who are in academia, and yet some of this very simple math when it comes to politics just seems to escape them. You know, we hear these stories about, you know, supposedly how highly intelligent, super intelligent Albert Einstein was, and that he was so smart that he didn't know how to tie his shoes or something along those lines. I don't know if there's any truth to that, but, you know, it leaves people such as myself wondering whether or not the same model can be applied to these people. Are they so intelligent and so educated that these more simple concepts seem to escape them? Anyway, I wanted to bring that up, folks, because, as I said, if we appear to be overly critical, unfairly critical on this program, it is only because of our sense of bewilderment. How is it possible that some of these things just do not get the kind of attention or the kind of proper explanation that they should? And it would be one thing if it were just an academic exercise, folks, but it isn't. Okay, what we're doing here, as I've said before on this program, you know, all of us are in effect, you know, intelligence operatives. We are involved in this intelligence operation aimed at helping to mold public opinion in such a way as to avert this thing known as World War III. And so that's why we have to be very careful about the information, the misinformation, the disinformation that we carry from point A to point B within the scope of the conversations that we have. And I don't know, folks. I guess affected by this email, and I thought that I would share that with you. Let's see. As I said, folks, we have an extremely important discussion lined up for today. It is going to be a continuation of what we discussed last week involving the signals Signal app scandal. Some really earth-shaking things have happened since the last time we were together, which was just a week ago. Now, a week ago, folks, this scandal had all of the hallmarks of being another, this was going to be Donald Trump's Monica Lewinsky, okay? It was so big and it was so explosive and it was everywhere. I mean, it was, you would have thought that literally the missiles from the old Soviet Union had been launched and they were on their way. That's how much attention this was getting. And as I said, it had all of the hallmarks of being something that was going to hang around at least a lot longer than just a mere 7 days. And then about 4 days into it, poof, it's gone. It's gone. We don't hear anything about it. Now, as I said, folks, I don't consider myself to be an expert in any of this. I consider myself to be a well-informed amateur. And the only reason that I'm well-informed is because I spend the better part of my day with my nose buried into this stuff and reading about it, and have for a long time. But nevertheless, despite my status as an amateur, nevertheless, when I see a story this big and this important that has all of the political yield of a nuclear weapon going off and destroying Donald Trump's plans for bringing an end to, again, this thing that is quickly approaching us, known as World War III, when this thing just fizzles out like a stick of dynamite that was soaked in water, you have to ask questions. Why did this thing disappear so quickly? They had him by the family jewels with this. This wasn't a repeat of what happened during his first term with Mueller's investigations on Russian influence in the 2016 election or any of the other things which Donald Trump's enemies had to pull out of someplace, we won't say where, and try to make something. This was not a case of trying to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, okay? They really had what they needed to cause him an immense amount of damage, at the very least to see perjury charges brought up against Director of National Intelligence Gabbard and the Director of the CIA, Ratcliffe, because of their testimony before Congress, where they said that this did not raise to the seriousness of classified information. Okay. So we have to look at this and say, what happened here? How did it go away this fast? Did suddenly the people who brought this against Donald Trump have a change of heart, and they said, oh, let's just let him off the hook. You know, he's not so bad. I don't think so, folks. And our special guest today, I'm sure, doesn't think so as well. And it is the invaluable Stas. We're going to go ahead and bring him up. Stas, are you there? Please check in with headquarters.
I am in.
Okay, is that a fair statement, Stas, that the disappearance of this story in less than a week's time after it exploded with all of the force of a political nuclear weapon, that there's something just a little bit odd about this?
Absolutely. The vultures were excited. They were circling. This was definitely looking like something, at least on the face of it, way worse than Russiagate, which they were using steel dossier and all kind of cutouts and bizarre fabricated stories, and yet still going on it. Or the famous time when Trump was impeached for basically a mere phone call to Zelensky. This was juicier.
Absolutely.
Because aspects of it were real. They were
Absolutely.
Real. They had been caught red-handed, really, making a mistake. Using the Signal app, which they were all cleared for, and yet, you know, they've got him with a humiliating mistake. Oh, you added Jeffrey Goldberg, the editor of the Atlantic magazine, the tied for most vicious publication against Trump, with a personal vendetta against Trump. It seems that it's like these different figures are dedicated to his destruction. Rachel Maddow, Jeffrey Goldberg, and these
Max
people.
Boot, that's Max what they Boot, do. Jennifer Rubin. Okay. Bill Kristol, the Kagan brothers, all of the neocons, all of the people who got us involved in this war on terror, who basically have acted, if not as literal, then as theoretical extensions of Mossad and of the Likud party. Yeah, Goldberg is one of those guys. He's the guy who told the lie, drawing the line between Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein in order to seduce the American mind into supporting what it was that Israel wanted to go on in the Middle East. And so of all the people who were going to get this get brought into this discussion, there was nobody worse than Jeffrey Goldberg. And so they have Trump, you know, by the family jewels, so to speak, with this, and yet they let him off the hook in less than a week. Now, folks, just to put this into perspective, okay, we're going to play, we're going to take a little stroll down memory lane, and we're going to play a soundbite from about 35 years ago. A long time ago. You're going to recognize immediately what it is, but we need to play this in order to set the stage for the conversation we're about to have. So let's just sit tight for just a moment.
The president speaks forcefully with his most emphatic denial yet of sex and lies in the Monica Lewinsky case.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never.
At the same time, Special Prosecutor Ken Starr increases the pressure on Lewinsky to testify against the president as the White House remains under fire.
This is the CBS Evening News. With Dan Rather reporting tonight from Washington.
Good evening. Here at the White House, the president's new counterattack went beyond the court of public opinion to actual court in Little Rock. This included a blistering attack, all but directly accusing Special Prosecutor Republican Ken Starr of being out to get the president. In new motions in the Paula Jones case, former White House intern Monica Lewinsky has reportedly told all, talked, but still does not have a deal for immunity from Kenneth Starr. And Hillary Clinton stands by her husband at the White House, then heads to a planned appearance in New York. Our coverage begins with CBS News White House correspondent Scott Pelley. Scott?
Dan, tonight, Monica Lewinsky's attorneys tell us that she has told prosecutors all she knows. They describe what they call a complete account of her relationship with President Clinton. But that account was given over the telephone today and was not written down. Prosecutors are still trying to decide whether they will offer immunity. This new threat came on the same day that the president finally rallied to his own defense. The president had been silent 3 days. His lawyers wanted it that way. But the political damage was rising much too fast. Today, drawn and bleary-eyed, Mr. Clinton joined the battle to save his presidency.
But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people. Thank you.
He turned his back on questions as the First Lady followed, applauding. The woman who could bring down the president appeared for the first time today, leaving her apartment with her lawyer. Lewinsky has indicated she will accuse Mr. Clinton of a sexual relationship, but only with a guarantee from prosecutors.
He knows that I want essentially full immunity. He knows that I want and would accept nothing less than a promise not to prosecute. So how close we are is really in his hands, not mine.
Tonight, independent counsel Kenneth Starr is considering whether to accept Lewinsky's oral statement. He had been insisting on a written version. CBS News has learned the independent counsel is investigating reports that people working in the White House spotted Mr. Clinton and Lewinsky alone in the mansion at various times. Secret Service records have been subpoenaed. The agents expect to be next. The White House strongly denies the reports.
The president's denial is quite clear that there couldn't have been that type of encounter. We've checked even with people who would have presumably been brought a report of any incident of that nature, and they categorically deny there was such an incident.
Sources tell CBS News Lewinsky was a frequent visitor to the White House long after she left the staff. Last month, she was cleared in at least four times, including weekends and evenings. But her welcome seems to have ended 3 weeks ago. On January 3rd, she was denied entry at the gate. And sources tell CBS News she threw a fit, screaming, "Don't you know who I am?" The president was traveling the day Lewinsky was turned away. 4 days later, she signed her sworn affidavit that she never had sex with Mr. Clinton. A grand jury is due to convene tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. The grand jury will be hearing from witnesses that include the president's friend, Vernon Jordan, and the president's own personal secretary. Dan?
Okay, folks, so a little stroll down memory lane, back to the embryonic stages of what ended with the impeachment of President Bill Clinton. Now, what you just heard there, in the span of just about 4.5 minutes, folks, that's what a takedown operation by Israel's Mossad sounds like. Okay. When they've got somebody, when they've got a president or a member of Congress or somebody like that, and they've got them by the family jewels, they don't let go. Okay. Why would they? Okay. This is how they get what they want. And those of you who are old enough to remember know how all of this went on. It went on for years, folks. Years. And it completely, now Clinton was not, convicted, but he was impeached. And no president wants to have that on his, on a stain like that on his history. Sorry, folks. Stain, that's a bit of an accident. But anyway, so that's what happens when Israel decides that they're going to run somebody through the meat grinder. They don't let up. Yet, folks, and those of you who heard last week's program know our theory here on what all of this business involving the Signal app scandal was about, which is that this was an operation run out of Israel by Israel's Mossad in order to basically blow up Donald Trump's national security team. Because without that national security team, folks, you can't get anything done, including all of the negotiations and posturing that needs to take place in order to prevent World War III. In effect, the Signal app scandal was Netanyahu making good on his very veiled threat when he brought the golden pager into the White House, folks. This was Netanyahu's way. He loves doing things like this. He's, you know, whether it's him holding up the picture of the bomb at the UN General Assembly in 2012, or whether it's him handing then Vice President Joe Biden a bunch of broken glass when Biden went to Israel to complain, to deliver President Obama's complaints to Netanyahu about expanding Israeli settlements in the West Bank. And Netanyahu hands him a bunch of broken glass and he says, "Here, don't cut yourself on it." That's what the golden pager was about, folks. And it was a pre-shadowing of what took place last week with the Signal app scandal. What you just heard there, with the sound bites involving the news reports about Clinton and all of the rest of that, that's how they do it. And yet, for some reason, folks, they have decided to let Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, go. And that's what we're going to be talking about on today's program. Stas, your initial response or thoughts about the soundbite involving Clinton and Lewinsky and a drama that went on for at least 2 years.
There's some parallels that each of these presidents are trying to stay out of wars. Bill Clinton, not a fan of him, but he was well aware that he didn't really understand military things, that that his power lay in liberal politics here in the U.S.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
He didn't want to get bogged down in Iraq, and definitely the Israelis and their lobby got angry at Clinton and taught him a lesson.
Yeah, not only that, and not only did he not want to go to war in Iraq, but what else did he do? An even greater sin as far as Netanyahu and Likud is concerned. He forced Israel to the peace table, and this is the reason why, folks. This is the reason why we have this thing today known as the Palestinian Authority. It was the embryonic form of what was going to be a Palestinian government that would have been governing a Palestinian state. But Clinton was not able to finish up the second part of this, which would have led to the creation of a Palestinian state. But this was Netanyahu's way of throwing all of this into the meat grinder, in the same way that all of this that happened last week involving the Signal app scandal also is involved. Now, I know there are a lot of you out there that are, you know, going to say, oh, this is crazy. Look at what President Trump is doing. He let the Jews go in there and butcher 1,000 Palestinians beginning on March the 15th. Yes, folks, that is the absolute truth. That doesn't mean that President Trump does not intend to go forward with all of the plans that he publicly stated, including owning Gaza. This is part of that calculus as a result of the increase, the starting up again of the massacres. Israel is even more hated, if such a thing were possible, than she was before. And this works in the president's advantage to do this. He wants the world to hate Israel. He wants the world to hate Netanyahu, because this is what is going to put them in the position where he then can start dictating terms, including bringing peace to the Middle East. Now, I know this is, you know, this goes over the head of a lot of people, but folks, we have to, you know, you can't just look at these things on a surface level and then go and check out whatever podcast is saying what on the issue and then walk away from it having made up your mind. It's a lot more complicated than that. Okay, now we're going to get into the meat of why this thing has fallen apart, folks. And to do that, we've got another soundbite that we're going to play. This is, let's see, this is an interview that the National Security Advisor Mike Waltz gave to Laura Ingraham shortly after the scandal broke. So let's give a listen to this.
Joining us now, one of the principals who was on that Signal chat, National Security Advisor Mike Waltz. Advisor Waltz, thank you for joining us tonight. The president expressed complete confidence in you today and his entire cabinet. But how did a Trump-hating editor of The Atlantic end up on your Signal chat?
You know, Laura, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but of all the people out there, somehow this guy who has lied about the president, who has lied to Gold Star families, lied to their attorneys, and gone to Russia hoax, gone to just all kinds of lengths to lie and smear the president of the United States, and he's the one that somehow gets on somebody's contact and then gets sucked into this group.
Is someone in your intel team trying to cause trouble here? Because that's the scuttlebutt out there.
Look, we have people. No, look, this is a great group. The president has a great team. This is not first.
No,
term.
Your team. I'm not talking about the other principals.
No. These were principals and a couple of staff that we were coordinating, as you saw, having a policy discussion as we went forward. And then just in the days before what was an incredible strike, not only did we take out people that the Biden team never could, that we took out headquarters, missile caches, and actually one of the leaders of the Houthi organization. We've since taken out several since. And, You know, that's what they don't want to talk about. They don't want to talk about the success here. They don't want to talk about the hostages getting released. They don't want to talk about the Black Sea ceasefire that we just put in place today as the president ends the largest land war in Europe, or the border, or the fact that Panama just kicked China out of the canal, and success after success after success. So they want to focus on this. It's embarrassing, yes. We're going to get to the bottom of it. I just talked to Elon on the way here. We've got the best technical minds looking at how this happened. But I can tell you for 100%, I don't know this guy. I know him by his horrible reputation, and he really is the bottom scum of journalists. And I know him in the sense that he hates the president, but I don't text him. He wasn't on my phone. And we're going to figure out how this happened.
So you don't know what staffer is responsible for this right now?
Well, look, a staffer wasn't responsible. And look, I take full responsibility. I built the group. My job is to make sure everything's coordinated.
But how did the execute number? I don't mean to be pedantic here, but how did the number?
Have you ever had somebody's contact that shows their name, and then you have somebody else's number there?
Oh, I never make those mistakes.
Right? You got somebody else's number on someone else's contact. So of course I didn't see this loser in the group. It looked like someone else. Now whether he did it deliberately or it happened in some other technical mean is something we're trying to figure out.
So a staffer did not put his contact information.
That's what we're trying to figure out.
Okay, but that's a pretty big problem.
We've got the best technical minds, right?
That's disturbing.
And that's where, I'm sure everybody out there has had a contact where it was said one person and then a different phone number.
But you've never talked to him before, so how's the number on your phone? I mean, I'm not an expert in any of this, but it's just curious. How's the number on your phone?
Well, if you have somebody else's contact, and then somehow it gets sucked in.
Was there someone else supposed to be on the chat that wasn't on the chat that you thought was
so
on the
person that I thought was on there was never on there.
Was that person?
Well, I'm not. Look, okay. Laura, I take responsibility. I built the group.
Okay.
So. That's the part that we have to figure out.
Okay, folks, so that was National Security Advisor Mike Waltz on Laura Ingraham's program. I believe it was the day after the scandal broke. Now, folks, if you read between the lines, listen carefully to what Mike Waltz is saying, and if you read between the lines, what he's saying is that something technical happened. He even goes so far as to say that Goldberg did it himself. Now, what he's basically saying here, folks, without saying it, is that his phone was hacked into. Okay, that's why he mentioned they've got the best technical minds involved in looking into this, including Elon Musk. He says, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but, you know, of all the people that could have been brought into this, this bottom feeder, as he referred to him, Jeffrey Goldberg, and he is, folks, he's a horrible, horrible Jew and an Israeli asset, no doubt. So what he's saying, without saying it, folks, is that this was an intelligence operation, okay? That somebody hacked into his phone to deliberately create this scandal that then could be used to bring down Donald, at the very least, Donald Trump's national security team, in the same way, folks, that Monica Lewinsky was put into the White House by Israeli intelligence in order to do what she did in causing Bill Clinton all of the grief that resulted from that. Okay? And yet, folks, despite all of this, a week later, poof, it's gone. Stas, your thoughts about Mike Waltz's comments. Are we on the right track here with assuming that this was a very highly technical intelligence operation aimed at trying to bring down the national security team of the president?
This is huge, as we got to always listen very carefully to what Donald J. Trump, our president, says. We got to listen to Mike Waltz. He says, astoundingly, quote unquote, whether he did it deliberately or it happened in some other technical means, yes, is something we're trying to figure out.
Yes.
He also mentioned that, of course, Elon Musk has his back. If there's a guy that can deal with NSO group, it's guys like him. So that's in the conversation too, assuming that he would help on this maybe, or just NSA itself. But so he messaged back through without completely revealing his cards. And the fact that this huge scandal, and I just saw a headline to this morning at MSNBC, the worst in the world, but whatever. They were like, they said, quote unquote, that's it. That was quick, quote unquote. White House declares case closed on signal checks scandal after 7 days. So everybody over there dedicated to the destruction of Trump, they're probably like pretty shocked. Like, what? We have this. What happened to this bone that was thrown to us? They thought this was going to be the biggest, and it has disappeared. So really, it's looking like the only possible explanation for this is where you're leading us, that they were going to retaliate, basically, by just saying, well, yeah, this chat was compromised by Pegasus software, NSO group.
Absolutely.
Or other means, that was too hot. It was, and Goldberg is on this. It would go to an explanation that the Israelis listened into our warrior
yep.
people,
yes.
our leaders of our warrior class.
Yep. Now listen, Stas, since you have whet the appetite of the listeners with regards to NSO and Pegasus, folks, this is where we're going with this discussion, and we have another soundbite, so please just bear with me. It's very important. You need to hear it. Here we go.
All of us live our lives on our cell phones. We're completely connected to it. It's a sort of an appendage at this point. So the ability to get into that is almost like being able to get into your brain. What we're really learning here is that in country after country, a tool that could legitimately be used for law enforcement or for counterintelligence is being used against people it should never be used against. NSO is a spyware company. It's a private company. It's an Israeli private company. They make malicious software that governments use to target your smartphone and gather data out of it. And they sell this to governments all over the world. What we have is a kind of asymmetrical warfare, where the people who have the money and the power politically are able to use this against those they perceive as threats. So it really does impede some of the actual tools of transparency that we rely on, which is the ability to gather information, the ability to spread information without fear of being put in prison. What NSO allows its customers to do is to break into your devices, usually your smartphone, and do anything on it you can do. They can get your location, they can get all your emails, they can get all of your social media, they can get all your pictures, they can get all of your video, they can turn on your microphone, they can turn on your camera. So it provides an incredibly granular map, not just of your life and your interests, but also of your relationships. And so for a government spy agency, to be able to get into someone's smartphone is an incredibly powerful tool. One of the most concerning things about our reporting is that it's clear there's now what they call zero-click attacks. That means a malicious actor send something to my iPhone, for example. It comes to iMessage, but it never appears on iMessage, right? I don't see it. I don't hear it. There's no tip-off that there's something bad happening. And yet, it can get in, and it can begin to peel back the layers of all the security on your iPhone. And so you don't have to make a mistake. Really, all of us are vulnerable. Even people with recent devices, even people who do the right things and like keep up their passwords and make sure that their software is updated, this kind of technology can still get into your devices and sort of turn your life upside down on a table in front of people you'll never meet. When you think about it, it's vastly more powerful than what we think of as sort of wiretapping. Being able to listen in on a conversation, great, but being able to get all of your conversations that you've had on your device, all of the places you've been, the pictures you take, the pictures you receive from other people, that provides a very granular glimpse into your life and your world that really is not available in any other way. As a private company, they're free to operate how they want to. There are some regulations that the Israeli government puts on them, and the Israeli government monitors who they sell this to. But once it's sold, the system really belongs to the customers themselves. And so how they use it, whether they use it to track someone who might be delivering a car bomb, or whether they use it to spy on their girlfriend. Like, you know, there's no one really watching that, I think, is the bottom line. When these sorts of stories have come up in the past, NSO will never confirm who a client country is and what the surveillance is, but they also will say, we use this to fight terrorists, we use this to fight organized crime, and all those things may be true. The problem is the lack of guardrails around this.
The psychological impact of just knowing the technology's out there is kind of bad enough, but its real power is in the information it gives people with bad motives and with weapons and with the ability to not just stop you from doing your job, but to kill you and your family members. And that's, it just gives the state even more power over innocent people. This whole spying apparatus has a chilling effect on people who already feel like they're under threat because they're in a minority now in a lot of these authoritarian countries. And then to know that their phones can be spied on without them ever detecting it adds to their, in some cases, trauma.
Okay, folks, so that was a report that was put together by the Washington Post. Yes, folks, I know the Washington Post is one of the biggest voices, if not the biggest voice, in the deep state. But nevertheless, the information contained in that report is the truth. What they're talking about here is a computer spyware program known as Pegasus, developed by an Israeli private spyware company in Herzliya, where Mossad is also headquartered, folks. And it has connecting tentacles with the Israeli government. NSO, the company that developed the spyware, they sell it to governments, they sell it to all sorts of very wealthy and powerful organizations, including the drug cartels in, you know, south of the border here. And folks, this, more than likely, if I had to bet, if I had to guess, this is exactly what was used in hacking into that conversation that was taking place between the Vice President of the United States, National Security Advisor, the Director of the CIA, the Director of National Intelligence, and all of the other players, Secretary of Defense, involving the bombings in Yemen. This is the method by which they were able to get into that conversation and to forward all of this information to the Israeli asset Goldberg. So, again, folks, we have to ask the question, why? Why now, a week later, as our good friend Stas, he just read the headlines from MSNBC news story talking about how it's case closed. The president has said it's case closed, and the media's just dropped it, folks. When do they ever do that? When do they ever let go of something? They knew everything that was going on with Russiagate was a total hoax, and yet they dragged it out for years. And yet this thing is dead in the water a week later. And we have to ask the question, why? So why, Stas? Why are they letting go of this thing when it could be used to cause so, at the very least, even if the president doesn't succumb to the pressure and he says, no, I'm not firing any of them, I'm going to keep them on the team. Nevertheless, the constant screeching and, all of the noise that they would generate against him, why would they let something like this go? Stas, what do you think?
I think they would have been forced to say, look, we have had to do an investigation on why this happened.
Who's we? Who's we, Stas?
Our national security people.
Absolutely, sorry. Yep.
Our counterintelligence would have to say this. At this level, this was an incident regarding the highest levels of the United States security. And we have found to our shock that the trail led back to NSO Group, the Israeli company, or the Mossad itself, or yep. Israeli defense forces or any of the like, and it would have backfired. So they, I guess I'll use the analogy, they threw a great punch. They almost knocked out the Americans, our guys, in this situation, and then they threatened to counter with a counterpunch that was scary for the Israelis. And also, we have to consider the fact that they would have been brought to light something that we, of course, have no way of knowing about what they would find out, which is probably even worse.
Okay.
When they countered that. And it could open up the discussion whether we've had a problem such as this. And Trump, of course, has the expertise to bring it up in such a way that it would do way more damage than it was worth.
Okay. Good. Okay. So let me just paraphrase what you said here, Stas, for the benefit of the listeners. It is our theory, ladies and gentlemen, it is our theory here that the reason that this story has disappeared as quickly as it has is because the technical investigations, the forensics that National Security Advisor Mike Waltz was discussing on Laura Ingraham's program took place, and they traced it all back to Israel. They traced it back through the Pegasus malware, the spyware. And this was brought to the president and said, Mr. President, this was an Israeli intelligence operation giving this information to Goldberg so that they could begin the process of blowing up your national security team so that you could not move forward with your plans of, first of all, ending the war in between Russia and Ukraine, but also your plans for the Middle East. So when the president was made aware of this, he then, through whatever channels, whether he picked up the phone himself or whether he had one of his subordinates doing it for him, got the word to Benjamin Netanyahu that the president is preparing to address the nation in the next 15 minutes to tell them that it was an Israeli spyware group that hacked into the phones of the national security team, and that they were doing this in order to destroy the president's plans for ending all of these endless wars. At which point, folks, Netanyahu had his people call up all of the barking dogs in the U.S. media and in Congress and told them, shut your mouths, don't talk about it anymore. Okay. This is the kind of thing, folks, that if Donald Trump had come forward and said, yes, we've isolated what the mix-up here was, there was some spyware that was installed on the phone of the National Security Advisor without him knowing it. It's spyware that it was developed by a private company, but that works in close cooperation with the government of Israel. And then I think that he would have gone even further, folks. I think the president would have said, and it's much worse than simply them listening in on this one singular conversation involving the strikes in Yemen. We're now doing an investigation, a forensic investigation of all the phones, of all the principal people, and of every member of Congress, to see if their phones have been infected as well. And we would have seen reports coming out, ladies and gentlemen, every day for weeks and months on end about the Pegasus investigation. And we would find out about how every single member of Congress, every single member of the cabinet, every person of any kind of influence within the government, how their phones had been infected by this Israeli malware. And Netanyahu saw the immensity of this nuclear weapon that was headed his way, something that could have even peeled away his support within the Christian Zionist community. I know, folks, that in and of itself sounds like almost an impossibility, but with the immensity of what could have come out of this. Yes, you could have even peeled Netanyahu's supporters here in the Christian churches in America away from him. And this is the reason why it just disappeared like that. Stas, your thoughts?
Absolutely. It would have rattled up Trump's very powerful base, let's face it, but
yep.
At the same time, a burden to him. It's really complicated of his evangelicals, and also some unwilling and mixed support from the pro-Palestinian crowd. And
sure.
And not that the Democrats who are progressive would say, well, we hate Trump, but this brings up, let's talk about this.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about this.
Excellent point.
Because there's no doubt that the Pegasus software has played a role in let's face it, the murder of an absolutely huge amount of Palestinian journalists. I think this is definitely one of the many tools, because there's an unbelievable amount of them have been killed. Several hundred. More than World War II.
Yep.
I think so. They have a voice in the pro-Palestinian progressive Democratic Party, which they're trying to deal with them in a different way. Netanyahu and company don't want to run up against them in that way. They want to make them look as demonic enemies of Israel in the eyes of Trump's crew.
Mm-hmm.
So it would cause an earthquake and all these things where people who don't even like Trump, like, well, I hate Trump, but come to think of it.
Yes, exactly.
We have done this. And this goes back to the, whether or not it's black magic or weirdness, this pager thing. And Netanyahu has set across the theme early on with his strange I Am James Bond film, YouTube clip. And then all of a sudden, the dramatic pager attack on the resistance in the Middle East, Hezbollah, and so forth, and then the elimination of Nasrallah, all technology symbolized in the golden pager.
Yes.
Which is a gift to Trump, which is obviously a Godfather movie style.
Exactly.
Threat.
Exactly. Yep.
Luca Brasi swims with the fishes, pal. Here, Merry Christmas.
Yes,
exactly. It's a golden picture. It's definitely a threat to him. And as we talked about at some point, for some strange reason, the Israel all or nothing ally, Fetterman, the very strange man, travels to Tel Aviv, and he gets given symbolically a silver pager.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what it means? Maybe like, don't worry about the silver pager one. That's not the one that blows up. That's not the one that eavesdrops. So
exactly.
It's intimidating on both ways. Hey, you never know. We're going to blow up your iPhone when you're talking, or Android or whatever, when you're talking on it, or we're going to humiliate you by leaking.
Yeah, blow it up in the media.
Yeah, which in some weird ways is almost worse.
Absolutely.
A disgraced Trump may even be more valuable than an assassinated Trump.
As Bill Clinton was.
Yeah. You don't want to make a martyr out of this Trump, maybe. You make him look bad, you make his crew look inept, and then you can almost do anything you want.
Absolutely.
And so this was a brilliant plan to actually leak it to Jeffrey Goldberg, and yet, astoundingly, they were ready with this counterpunch, which has got to be that they would reveal it, and it would be confusing for Trump's evangelical base. So, like, well, we love Israel, but
Stas, think about this.
Yep.
If they had made this thing much, much bigger, and they had said, you know, that the entire Congress has had, which we know, folks, there's no question about it. They all have their phones infected with Pegasus. Everything that they say, everything that they do, they're, you know, just like the news report said, it is an open door into your brain. They know everything about you, your relationships, where you go. It's amazing. This program is a monster, folks. It is something straight out of the bowels of hell in terms of what an intelligence agency can do in blackmailing political opponents. Okay, so if the president, if this thing had blown up and you had people all over America now, and I'm sure that the president would have included the American people too, saying, look, you may have this on your phone. You remember Stas back when Obama was president and there was this scandal about how the NSA was listening in on everybody's phone? I remember my poor mother-in-law, okay, my poor Italian mother-in-law, calling up, and she's panicked because she was afraid that Obama was listening in on her phone conversations when she's sharing Italian recipes of lasagna with my beautiful wife. Okay? So I'm sure that the president, whether he had done it personally or whether he had just let this information out into the the blabosphere, meaning out into the media, using his own connections with a lot of these right-wing media outlets saying that that the average American was being spied on, which I think is possible as well, folks. But the United States, both the right and the left, the Republicans and the Democrats, the liberals and the conservatives, they would have found common cause on this. They would have put aside their political differences, especially the left, because of the Palestinian issue. And this thing would have become, it would have become the Samson option in reverse. Stas, your thoughts?
Definitely. And Waltz is firing back. He clearly says, oh, did this happen by some other technical means? Jeffrey Goldberg is basically going on the thing like, no. He knows me and he's an idiot. Come on, I'm on his phone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not clear on that, whether or not the Pegasus can introduce a caller.
Yes, it can do. Saz, it can do anything.
Well, then
it's
there
like
you go.
The phone. There it's like go. The phone is in your hands. Okay, it's no different than having the phone in your hands, even though you're sitting behind a computer terminal 10,000 miles away in Israel. It's like you have the phone in your hands, and the person whose phone it is, they don't even know that any of this is taking place. That's what's so bad about this. It's a zero. It has zero click vulnerabilities. You don't have to click on a link or anything else. They can just come right in through the front door, through the back door, whatever, you know, while the phone is sitting there off and charging. Okay, while you're sleeping at 2 a.m. In Herzliya, Israel, there's a hacker who's in your phone, adding Jeffrey Goldberg's number there and sending Jeffrey Goldberg a request to join this conversation that's going to be taking place the next day. So on that note, you mentioned Netanyahu, Stas, and I'm going to play a very, very quick soundbite here that everybody needs to listen. Pay close attention here, folks.
Today, warfare has changed again, dramatically. I don't mean just physical warfare of the kind I just described. I'm talking about the capacity, and it's not imaginary. It's not futuristic, and it's not exaggerated. It's moving very rapidly to a situation where, with the click of a button, you can bring down nations to their knees very rapidly, if you so desire, and if you're willing to take the risks, because every system can be hacked.
Okay, folks, now... This was a tech conference that the warlord Netanyahu spoke at 8 years ago, 2017. Pegasus has been around for, 15 years, I think, folks. It's just gotten worse as they have improved it, quote-unquote. But nevertheless, his words, even though he wasn't necessarily speaking specifically about Pegasus, where he talks about the ability to take down entire nations with the click of a button and to bring nations to their knees rapidly if you have the will to do it. This is exactly what we are facing. Okay, when he makes statements like that, yes, he's talking to a room full of computer tech geeks in Israel, telling them how wonderful they are. But nevertheless, this is how they have got this knife to our throat and this gun to our head. Is that we have, and again, folks, this is the one of the reasons why Donald Trump simply cannot have the kind of rational adult conversation with the American people that he would like to have. Because everywhere he goes, he is dealing with information warfare that is taking place on a 360-degree arc. Okay? So for those of you out there who are susceptible to some of the things that you hear on some of these podcasts and programs about how Donald Trump is a warlord and he's out to start World War III and everything that he promised to do was just a big lie, you're not factoring all of this in. You're not looking at all the information, and neither are these podcasters and analysts who say these things. Okay? I guarantee you, folks, I guarantee you what I just described a few moments ago in a hypothetical sense where every member of Congress and every person of importance, including down to the state government level, folks, that would include the governors, that would include the members of the state legislatures, anybody of any political or economic or media consequence, Hollywood stars, I guarantee you all of their phones are infected as well. Okay? So that is what's going on here. And what we just witnessed with this dud, where this political nuclear weapon basically fizzled out, was Donald Trump telling Netanyahu, okay, you want to play dirty with me, I will play dirty with you. This is what I'm going to go and tell the American people in just about 15 minutes. And that's why the story died. Stas, your thoughts?
Absolutely. They feared the counterattack of Trump on this. Trump, who is a master of making a big deal about things. This is right up his alley, counterattack on this. And he was doing his thing by including an attack on Miss Mayor of the NPR, that she's involved with the Signal app.
Right.
But it's end-to-end encryption. People should think that they're having some kind of safety. But, of course, this thing, apparently all you need is the phone number. And it's, you know, like you said, the zero click. I mean, it's awesome. It's another thing that's a game changer. There's actually a book called Pegasus, How a Spy in Your Pocket Threatens the End of Privacy, Dignity, and Democracy.
Mm-hmm.
This had led me to, I mean, because you got to speculate all over the place in matters like this, which are definitely quasi-hidden, that did the national security team realize that they were being surveilled?
Mm-hmm.
And did they deliberately add Jeffrey Goldberg to the discussion? We're tending away from that now, but you know, there's a small possibility. But
well,
you'd like to think that they wouldn't
that.
Be dumb enough.
Let's entertain
dumb enough
that.
To use the app.
Let's
Sorry.
Entertain that for a moment. Let's entertain that for a moment, because I think it's fair. You know, as we say often on this program, we have to look at all the possibilities. We don't want to just seize upon the one that happens to tickle our fancy at that moment, but we have to consider all the possibilities. And I did. Now, you were the first one, actually, Stas, when this thing broke. You texted me and you asked me a very simple question. Did Trump do this? And my response was, I don't think so. But nevertheless, let's just entertain this for the sake of, for the sake of polemics. Let's just entertain the possibility. They didn't necessarily deliberately add Goldberg on, but they knew that their phones were already being, that they had already been infected with Pegasus, and that everything that they were doing was being monitored by Israel, okay? And they went along with this in order to create, because folks, this business, you know, this nuclear weapon that Trump now holds over the head of Netanyahu, of threatening to release this information to the American people, it's still there. Okay, all he has to do is press the launch button. So it is possible that President Trump and his team went ahead and allowed this to happen in order to pull Netanyahu into this net so that Trump could then, it's like leaving the front door open, knowing that the robbers are going to break in. And then as soon as they break in, you turn on the lights and you've got your guns on them. So let's just entertain this hypothetically for a moment, the possibility that this did happen. It could have. Now, personally, folks, at this point, I am 51-49 against that. And the reason why is because if this were an operation that they had, that the president and his national security team had run, we would be hearing more about it. There would have been more than just a simple statement from the president, which is case closed. I think that he would, or at least I would have, folks, I would have put out little pieces of information to let Netanyahu know that I was serious about doing this, and that would at least have started, you know, the chattering classes, you know, chattering, okay, meaning, well, what did the president mean by this when he said that there was a spyware company that was involved in this and that came out of a foreign government or whatever. If I had been the president, I would have at least fired a shot across the bow towards Netanyahu to let him know that I was serious. But then again, that's me. I mean, we're different people and we have different ways of doing things. Stas, what would be the advantage to the president and his team going along with this little thing, letting it play out? Let's just assume for the moment that that's what happened, that they were not taken by surprise.
Going with our original theory that that Trump had to do a strike on Yemen.
Mm-hmm.
Even because we were talking about the mysterious missile guy, who were they hitting? Was there some people lending their expertise? Were there elements of undercovers there causing trouble?
Israeli
yep. Undercovers to sink a ship, presumably a carrier, and get the World War III speeded up to tie Trump's hands and end his reign of terror against behind the scenes against Israel.
Yep.
The advantage of it was you're still keeping that narrative that you're the tough president, that you're bombing the heck out of these rotten Houthis, probably ostensibly hated by the evangelicals.
Just for being Arabs and Muslims. Yeah, just for being that, because they're picking on the poor little old Jews. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They love to light it up. Nothing better than a bombing. So you get to keep that narrative going, and yet it gets like couched because, oh, well, there's been this leak. And it gives Trump a chance in that he actually has been saying, I want peace talks. Like, I bombed the daylights out of you guys, but he's still going for talks with the Houthis.
Yes. Yep.
So it's like out there. And he's like, yeah, my guys made a little mistake, but all right. And it doesn't matter that you saw the attack plans because the strikes were successful.
Mm-hmm.
That was Trump's opening salvo.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it was funny the way Trump said, I didn't know anything about it, but it doesn't matter because we're the best and we bomb these Arabs, basically, is what he's saying. I hate to put it that way, but that's true.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yep.
And Trump, better than no one, knows how to speak to that base. Like, I'm getting them for you, but that's the funny thing. He doesn't want to kill them, or he wants to reduce it, because he doesn't want the world obliterated that we talk about endlessly and that people should talk about every day. Now, so it's sort of possible. It's amazing, but it turned into a thing where he's still keeping that narrative, but it kind of couches it. And now, potentially, what we're talking about, that it just would make the Israelis look bad if the full truth of the situation was revealed. And also, strangely enough, the Pegasus had been kind of a darling of the left. In fact, that book I just mentioned, the foreword is written by Rachel Maddow itself, as if to say, these dirty capitalist pigs have this Pegasus software, which is a favorite thing of Israeli progressives to sort of move it away from biblical revenge and Talmudic revenge and all this, and put it in the arms of this all-seeing, all-knowing capitalist swines that possess things like Pegasus that are stealing the recipes of great Italian recipes, or not just that, but so it, they'd be forced to have empathy for the orange one. Oh, you guys got hacked. Well, you know, like it's like a, what these witchcraft people, it's almost like these binding spells that Trump did a thing like, oh, you attacked me and now you're stuck because we have something that's popular also, because the Palestinian group now is, again, they're all, like we talk about every time, apparently everybody in the pro-Palestine group and everybody in all the great shows are seem hell-bent and always ready to dump Trump with every single moment. I think probably because they're sick of getting threats and hate mail, and part of them wants to remain popular and just go, yeah, he's an idiot.
Right.
Or he's bad, to get the heat off him so they can you know, look like a hero and still go to the Washington, D.C. parties or whatever, you know, or whatever, and still make the money and look smart, too. Everybody wants to call Trump dumb and this and that, because he's not an intellectual. He's a tough talking guy. But I tell him any of these guys, John Mesh and even Aaron Maté and whatever, they can't do what he can do. Not very few guys can do this stuff where he does this chaotic deal making thing, and he's got the ability to, he's not afraid to sit down with somebody who hates him and do a deal. It's why the New York Khazars have been so angry about him getting in, because they've seen what he can do in New York City, and they do not want to deal with that. And the peace table, they're doing everything they can, which is a thing that I notice endlessly. All these so-called experts miss all the time. They take their eye off what's the most important thing, which is that land must be theirs and everybody's got to be eradicated there. And they, it's the thing that pretty much off the top of my head makes them the most angry.
You
Gentiles are not going to tell we're the kings, man. You're nothing. I think probably Netanyahu, as we talked about in an earlier program, he didn't want to even stand in a podium next to Trump. This is all against the law. But what people miss all the time is this form of espionage is completely sanctioned by the Old Testament. As Moses instructed I forget what biblical figure to go
the spies.
To spy.
The spies. Ten spies.
And there's been nothing in the history of the world that's been seen like these new devices that are coming up. Security devices, and also they're also, I'm sure, working on computers that can crack all this, and on and on and on. All these startups from the 8200 group, for the listeners that don't know what it is, it's the Israeli NSA. Basically, all their startups are effective in this, and I'm sure whatever Signal Corporation is, that they own the code anyway.
Absolutely,
I doubt that they don't.
Yep.
And Microsoft and everything down. So I don't even begin to know how the NSA can deal with these things. But I do think there's a clue where I believe Waltz referred to Elon. I do think that in this second term, Trump came more ready to fight, and that Musk has joined him because he's got a team of eggheads or whatever that are on par with the Israelis. I do believe that he's developed a team that can do this. Superior to them, doubtful, but that they were more than capable of tracing this back, it's gotta be. Otherwise they would be running this 24 hours a day.
Absolutely.
7 days a week, until basically everybody in that cabinet couldn't take it anymore. Could you imagine? The only thing worse than being accused of being corrupt is being stupid.
Yep.
It eats away at you.
Absolutely.
Know, at least the corruption thing, you can go, I did it for the money and I'm smart that way, or something like that. There's no way out of the stupid thing. It's the worst. And as you mentioned very smartly that they could argue that they could argue the reversing. No, we're not coming to the peace table because you guys are full of holes.
Absolutely.
No way. And that would be a great excuse. They could say, no, I'm not showing up. I think how the Israelis are doing this is that I believe they're going to showing no mercy. They'll re-bomb Gaza. They seem to re-bomb Gaza every time they get thwarted by Trump. They still hold that card, which I would like to ask you one quick question on this. At some point, is he going to have to go there physically?
Yes.
Are we going to see the U.S. Marines in Gaza? And I mean, when I'm talking about going in a way that not slowly, like
70 AD.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, we were just talking off the air before we went to the program, Stas. There's a very interesting op-ed that appeared in Haaretz today, where the author is saying that this whole Greenland discussion, the whole discussion about Greenland, about the U.S. taking over Greenland, that this should be terrifying Israel right now, because what is happening is that the president is using that discussion not just for the plans of annexing Greenland, but of doing it to Israel as well. Now, you will remember, Stas, and those of you listening to the program will remember that it was predicted here on this program that at some point Netanyahu and his gang of insane religious extremists are going to push Trump to the point where he's just going to go 70 AD on them, and is going to not only take over Gaza, as he said he plans to do, but he's going to take over the West Bank. He's going to take over the Golan Heights. He's going to take over southern Lebanon. And he's going to apply the Pax Romana model that was used 2,000 years ago in occupying Israel in order to bring peace and order and stability to the region. So the answer to your question, yes, Stas, that is what the president is prepared to do. The fact that he hasn't done it yet means nothing, folks. Do not be swayed or seduced by some of the stupid one-dimensional analysis that you're going to hear on all of these podcasts who are saying that Trump is getting ready to start World War III. No, the fact that he has not done it yet, meaning he has not gone in and occupied Israel, doesn't mean that he isn't planning to. The Jews themselves are terrified that this is what he is planning to do. And on that note, Stas, since you've got your ear closer to the ground than I do, I don't really spend any time listening to podcasts or anything else out there. Has anybody else, to the best of your knowledge, within the quote-unquote alternative media, have they brought up this aspect of Pegasus with regards to this scandal, this signal app scandal, and the fact that Israel may have been behind this whole thing? Has there been any talk of that at all out there?
They have not. Curiously, all the decent outlets have let this story go. And they're focused more, a lot of them are like, well, Trump doesn't know what he's doing with Putin in the Ukraine negotiation. And the troop movements that are going on, movements by the B-2 bombers and so forth. He is going to definitely attack Iran. And they've also busted Gabbard on, she had criticized Trump, or she had criticized bombing of the Houthis before, and now they've gone ahead. So they've said she's flipped. Everything is on that vein now.
Mm-hmm.
Admittedly, a lot of the news services I like the Duran or, Judging Freedom, or even Danny Hyphon, I think he's like a communist Chinese kid or whatever, and on. Jason Hinkle, these very communistic guys. They kind of are stuck on the narrative that is the United States is a colonial power and they're paying for it. They're kind of on that. And they just, and also the gray zone, which is excellent. They just can't get off that.
Mm-hmm.
That Trump and Netanyahu and stuff are like conservatives or something, that are colonialist, a capitalist or whatever. And that's what's wrong. And that Trump is folded and done this. But he wouldn't have any resistance if he did an attack on Iran. The big media would start to sort of ease the pressure on Trump the way,
exactly,
the way they do it mysteriously. They would really do it. All of a sudden you'd be like, wow. And a lot of these people who have gone crazy would still be crazy, but the less gas would be put on the fire. You know, all these people that are smashing Tesla trucks and everything about,
sure,
Trump and nervous breakdowns, they would still be there, but the continual flow of fire, which they can ratchet up, and they can call in the crazies anytime they want, would happen. And I don't think he'd have any resistance. And even the Atlantic, Jeffrey Goldberg, would be like, well, he's an idiot, but thank God somebody's doing something about Tehran.
Exactly.
Yep. You know, in theory.
So what you're saying, like, in effect, Stas, what you're saying in effect is all of these people who are stuck, just like, you know, the old LP records folks, and you'd get something in the groove there and it would just repeat over and over and over again. All of these people who just continuously repeat the same stupid line over and over again, that Trump is owned by the Israeli lobby and he was put in power in order to start World War III, you know, they can't even, or they won't even, do their own forensic investigation. They say the Jews control everything and that the Israeli lobby controls everything. But then yet when there's this tidal wave of political pressure that goes up against Trump and all of these people supposedly who are there working for Netanyahu, whether it's the Congress, whether it's the media, whoever, and they're doing it, they never ask that simple question. Well, if Trump is in Netanyahu's pocket, then why is Netanyahu bashing Trump around? Stas, we've got one more soundbite that I want to play, and it is the testimony of the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard. Folks, her testimony was scheduled to, did appear on Tuesday of last week. It was Monday, the previous Monday, less than 24 hours before her testimony, folks, where the story broke about this Signal app scandal. 24 hours. What timing. What an amazing thing. And the guy breaking it is the stinking Jew, Jeffrey Goldberg. Let's now, when we listen to what Tulsi Gabbard had to say, folks, and she's there accompanied by the director of the CIA, the director of the DIA, that's the Defense Intelligence Agency, the director of the NSA, the National Security Agency, and the director of the FBI. And they are giving this threat assessment to the Senate, as they are required by law to do every year. And you will hear, folks, in Gabbard's own words and in the words of the 18 intelligence services working for the U.S. government that compiled this list, exactly why this story broke when it did.
...of Capitol Police in the room. Any disruptions, either opposed or in favor to the witnesses, will result in prompt removal from the hearing room, and my encouragement to the U.S. attorney to throw the book at the person disrupting the hearing. No offense, but we all came to hear the witnesses, no one else in the room. Director Gabbard, I understand you'll make a statement for the panel of witnesses.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Vice Chair, members of the committee. Thanks for the opportunity for us to be here to present you the intelligence community's 2025 annual threat assessment. I'm joined here this morning by my colleagues from the CIA, DIA, FBI, and NSA. Our testimony offers the collective assessment of the 18 U.S. intelligence elements making up the U.S. Intel community and draws on intelligence collection and information available to the IC from open source and private sector and the expertise of our analysts. This report evaluates what the IC assesses most threatens our people and our nation's ability to live in a peaceful, free, secure, and prosperous society. Iran continues to seek expansion of its influence in the Middle East, despite the degradation to its proxies and defenses during the Gaza conflict. Iran has developed and maintains ballistic missiles, cruise missiles, and UAVs, including systems capable of striking U.S. targets and allies in the region. Tehran has shown a willingness to use these weapons, including during a 2020 attack on U.S. forces in Iraq and in attacks against Israel in April and October 2024. Iran's cyber operations and capabilities also present a serious threat to U.S. networks and data. The IC continues to assess that Iran is not building a nuclear weapon, and Supreme Leader Khamenei has not authorized the nuclear weapons program that he suspended in 2003. The IC continues to monitor closely if Tehran decides to reauthorize its nuclear weapons program.
And there you go, folks. That is the reason why. The story broken by Jeffrey Goldberg at The Atlantic about the Signal app leak of classified information, why it exploded across the world, folks, not just across the United States, but across the world, less than 24 hours before the head of the Office of National Intelligence, the CIA, the DIA, the NSA, and the FBI went to testify before the Senate about threat assessments, where it was stated very plainly, unambiguously, and without any gray area whatsoever, that Iran is not developing nuclear weapons and is not seeking to develop nuclear weapons. Remember, folks, this is the singular issue upon which Netanyahu and his fellow warlords who are out to start World War III, it is this singular issue upon which an attack on Iran by the United States hinges. The United States government has just declared officially that Iran is not developing nuclear weapons and does not seek to develop nuclear weapons. This is the reason why the story was exploded across the news of the world, and why now, a week later, folks, it's completely gone. We don't hear anything about it because Donald Trump, President Trump, flipped the script on this, whether they knew about it ahead of time or not. Nevertheless, when they knew that Israel was the one who was responsible for this intelligence operation aimed at blowing up Trump's national security team, Donald Trump flipped the script on this, told Netanyahu, "I'm going to tell everybody that you did this," and that's the reason why it has disappeared. Stas, is that an accurate summation of what has taken place in the last 8 days?
That is definitely at the core of it. This thing just wouldn't have disappeared. They had the correct counterintelligence response to this behind the scenes. I wish I could have heard the communicate back to Bibi Netanyahu on this.
Yes.
Absolutely. I wish I could have. Also, it brings to light the essence and the core of what world espionage activities are about, the state of Israel, and I guess the United States, trying to keep nuclear technology, but they're trying to make sure that adversaries that they don't want to have it don't get it.
Sure.
And Gabbard saying that they weren't going for it is not the kind of story they want to hear, because they're not just interested in making sure Iran doesn't have nuclear weapons. They're interested in liquidating Iran.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
Indeed. Indeed. That's what's at stake here.
Stas, this was a fascinating discussion. I couldn't have had it really with anybody except for you. I want to thank you, and I, on behalf of all the listeners, I want to thank you for giving us your time and your expertise. I hope it sinks in, folks. I hope that this jars something in your thought processes out there. As I've said before, folks, you're not likely to hear discussions of the sort that you just heard in too many other places. And I don't say that in an arrogant fashion, folks. I say that with great regret, because these are the kinds of conversations that should be taking place all over the place. If they were taking place with more frequency than simply one little podcast out in the middle of nowhere, it's possible that the president, who is doing his best to keep this plane that has been hijacked from crashing into this mountainside, and we all may actually get a chance of getting through this thing known as Armageddon in one piece. Stas, we're going to close the program out. What would you like to tell the listeners before we say sayonara?
This is huge. Anybody listening, don't get overly optimistic to think that there's a super group of white hats that have locked Debbie down. There's nothing to worry about, but also give the president a chance. Do your best you can to help him out by not going on your social media and saying that he's an idiot or that he has betrayed us all and that he's immediately going to attack Iran or something. Use
discretion.
Cool, calm, and collective reasoning.
Discretion.
Yeah. Use discretion.
Yeah.
Don't, as you say many times, don't feed into the fire.
Yep, absolutely.
Put out the fire.
Yep, put out the fire. Don't bring buckets of gasoline, folks. Bring buckets of water. Stas, hang on there for just a second. I'm going to close out the program, but want to talk to you off the air.
Got it.
Okay, folks, so that was our good friend Stas. We thank him immensely for giving us his time and his expertise. Anybody who would like to contribute to keeping this program and these kinds of discussion on the air, of course, we greatly encourage and greatly appreciate you doing that. And folks, again, it's not an academic exercise. This is existential in nature. We have, you know, we find ourselves within this giant real-life version of the Terminator, where we've got these machines that are hunting us down to kill us, simply for us being who and what we are as Gentiles, kind-hearted people, people who believe in leaders like Jesus Christ and like Muhammad. And there's no reasoning with these people. There's no changing that computer code that they've got in their brains. They've been out to destroy us since the days of Cain murdering his brother Abel. And so with that in mind, folks, we don't have a lot of time to be sloppy and to do, as Stas said, to get on our social media accounts and to feed that fire. Anyway, folks, that's it for today. Appreciate your patience. It was kind of a detailed program, but I think that we connected the dots in ways that are going to contribute to a better understanding of what's going on. Till we meet again, folks, as we say often on this program, pray for a miracle, because we sure as hell need it.